This covers the guilt. Something wrong has happened that needs to be accounted for. And so what they did by faith in God and not fully understanding, with the exception of Moses, fully understanding what was to come, they received that covering. When we acknowledge that something's been done wrong in our community, we honor God by looking for a resolution. We honor God by recognizing that something's been wrong. When we have pray for forgiveness for those wrongs of our community, I think about, because really these elders are participating in something that they didn't do anything wrong. We didn't do anything wrong. Why do we have to give our calf? Let's go find the guy who did it. Why? God calls, when sin happens in a community, He calls everybody to participate in it. I just think about Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den of fame, young man says, I'm not going to eat your food. Risks his life. As he grows in stature and in a prophetic move of God, here's how Daniel prays in Daniel 9:5. We have sinned. Daniel doesn't say, I have sinned. What does he say? He says, we have sinned and done wrong. He's part of the elite that gets shipped off to Babylon, and they say, you smartest kids, we're going to put you in and use you in our country, in our nation, in our leadership. We're going to send you to the best school. We're going to give you the best opportunity. And so Daniel's leading the country in a place, but yet he's looking back and saying, we're here because of our sin. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. Now, if you look at Daniel, Daniel for sure wasn't a perfect guy. But as standards go, he was a righteous man. He, just by his response, you knew he wasn't, he was living out his life honoring God as a young man so that he had the stamina and courage to stand up to guys with swords and guys who could take his life a lot bigger and tougher than he was. And so he walked this out. And yet he says, we have sinned. God says, you know what? When there's an injury in our community, we are all responsible. It's interesting. We see it in the Lord's Prayer. How does it start out? Our Father, not my Father. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us, not me, us, not in temptation, into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God doesn't call just individuals, but He calls us as a community to be aware of the wrongs that have been done in our community and to respond to them in ways that honor Him. We have become so callous to death in our culture. And they estimate, 4,000 just in our country, 4,000 abortions a day. Unrealized potential. Unrealized fruitfulness. And you go on with the death of drug dealers and users, and some people would be so crass to say, they deserved what was coming to them. God never says that. Every single human being was created in the likeness of God in His image. Every single person is valuable to God. God, forgive me when I've had a callous heart and had those thoughts about another human life. I think about the suicide murders that are increasingly happening in our country. Every single young person, every single person who out of distraught hopelessness thinks an anger would kill other people, and then the remorse or the hopelessness would kill themselves. those things that just go on and it seems overwhelming. It's like, you know what? We would be puddles on the ground, wouldn't we? If we did something in an awareness of every single death that happened. And I think about, you know, I was in a small group of guys, and we talked about, I don't know, grieving, being sad. I said, you know what? I don't like to be sad. And somebody asked, say, how many guys don't like to be sad? About half the group raved it. How many guys like to be sad? The other half of the guys raised their hand. I was like, that was just weird to me. And I was asked, I said, Scott, how come you don't like to be sad? You know, just, and I know where he's going with it, because grief is painful. I was like, who likes grief? Hey, give me another serving of grief. Well, it's in grief that we fully appreciate life. It's in those sadness things that we can relate to other people with a loss. And so I just, as I prepared this sermon and once again just became aware, and in fact, I have to rehearse my sermon sometimes with Jackie, just because I want them to not just be on a page on my notes. I want them to be in my heart. And so I will wake up, I'm getting better at it. I'll wake up during, I usually write them on Wednesday, or most of the study, and get the bones there. And then I have to think about it. I'll wake up early Thursday morning, sometimes middle of the night, and I'll start praying. I'll remember, oh, what's my sermon about? I was like, oh yeah, it's about purity. And think about those things. And during the day, I rehearse it. And then usually Saturday, Jackie, because she's in Sunday school, will talk, say, hey, what do you teach in Sunday school, or what's going on? And she'll ask me what my sermon's about, and I'll rehearse it. And I talked about just the preciousness of life, and she made her own jump, like many of you did, to unjust death, to loss of little infants in utero, to abortions. And she started to cry. She said, oh. And she said to me, that's like abortions. I said, exactly. I didn't have to say that. You know, as you think about unjust. And I just was like, I was touched because she started to cry. That she was that sensitive. But I could tell she was overwhelmed. And she didn't want to stay there. I was like, this is too big. This is too much. And I think about our responsibility as people who love God, that are there rituals or things that we can do to acknowledge lives that have been lost without notice, so that God will remove guilt from our land and give the hope of his healing that comes through the blood of Christ. I get notes from, they do a walk in Portland, Sanctity of Life, and a walk in Salem. And they've done different in the chain or walks. And I've wanted to go, and I for years, we lived in Vancouver. When Jackie and I first got married, we would do a walk up there, and we support Oprah here in town. But for me, it just kind of awakened a new reality just out of this passage, of how we get to participate in that, how I get to participate in it, how our community gets to participate in it. Just awareness, because it's not, it, sanctity of life is not a political issue. Sanctity of life is a God issue. And he cares about every single created being. And it's like, okay, when I go out there, because I, like you, I have to have my thinking straight before I walk stuff out. It's like, why am I doing this? You know, I just don't want to go through the motions. I want to know why I'm doing something. And so I have a renewed awareness, like, no, for me to go on a march is to say, God, would you forgive us? Forgive who? Us. For whose? Our sin. Our sin. Would you, I want to acknowledge the lives that have been lost. You know, granted, I don't, may not know any, or may I know a few. But that in that place as a community, we get to bring whole health and wholeness to our land. How I live affects you. How we live affects all of us. Underneath all of that pain, there's some undealt with sin that you and I may have in our life or our world. You know, just even acknowledging wrongs, it'll negate the blessing that God has given us. When we don't deal with things, God redeemed Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And for Israel not to deal with the sin that they would have in the promised land would be to invoke the curses on themselves instead of the blessing that God intended. Just like any relationships, to me, are just like the key that we all have. That if you and I don't deal with stuff in our relationships, there's nothing but curses to come. Things don't automatically get better if you ignore them. I don't know if you've noticed that. But it may be uncomfortable, it may be painful, but it's only on the other side of that, of dealing with it, that there's life. You know, whether it's a kids or friends or whatever. I pray for, you know, just God's wisdom too. As I just think about conversations with friends that sometimes I'm thinking and feeling, I'm getting, the Holy Spirit said, now's not the time. Now's not the time. But over time, it's still on my heart. And then those doors open up, say, now's the time to talk about this. My sister and I had one of those conversations that God had been burning, just wanting to have. And this last time went down, it was just her and I. My mom was off, probably a doctor appointment or something. And it was just her and I, and I brought up a conversation. We had some really deep conversation that wouldn't have happened had I not brought something up. And I know it was uncomfortable because it was just ironic. I think somebody came to the door, a phone rang or something. You know those things that sometimes you go, whew, thank you, Lord. Or you're saying, wow, why is there an interruption here? We're right in the middle of a really serious, intimate conversation and there's an interruption. You know, we were able to come back a little bit, but it wasn't finished. But it was something I could tell. I became aware of some things that I wasn't aware of before. But I can tell just even addressing it or even touching that discussion was a stepping stone to a deeper relationship with my sister. There's five siblings. My sister I'm talking about, she's my oldest, and she's the most hands-on, taking care of my mom. But we love each other. And I could just tell, just text, you know, our phone calls. It's precious because being willing to step through and not leave those undealt with things alone. What did God rescue you from? Are you guarding the redeeming work of Christ in your life by dealing with your sin? Are we guarding the redeeming work of Christ in our lives and dealing with our sin? The Bible, as you do sermons, isn't always friendly for messages. You can always say, okay, I'm going to do this time, and I know I don't want to take 5 years to go through Deuteronomy, and I know some of you feels like it's been. But I feel like there was more I had today to talk about. But I feel like it will distract from what God is saying in this first passages. And we'll go on. If you know what the rest of chapter 21 is about, but I just feel like this is significant. Maintaining purity as our community. And let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for just the challenge of uncomfortable things. Lord, that it's in the midst of those uncomfortable things that we get our eyes open to what's important to you and what's broken in us. Lord, I would you forgive us for hard hearts? Would you forgive us for not realizing and acknowledging and celebrating the things that are important to you? Lord, and when we, because it's kind of twofold, as we acknowledge what's important to you, is we will acknowledge and take care of stuff that gets in the way of those things that are important to you. Lord, I pray as we think about relationship of injustice, things undealt with, Lord, that we get to take them to you. I think that we get to acknowledge them, number one, and number two, we get to say, Jesus, thank you for your blood that covers over all this messed up living. Lord, the injustice of our world, injustice of our own decisions. Lord, we need your covering. We need your blood to cover all of this over so that we can walk out life with confidence, so we can walk life out with wholeness, with our heads up and our shoulders back, saying, you know what? I am so thankful for the blood of Jesus that covers over all this junk, all this sin, all this transgression, all this wickedness. Lord, we thank you, God, that's what we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate life that you've given and acknowledge when it hasn't been honored, and we want to look to your sacrifice on the cross as a covering. And with that, we can walk out saying, you've washed us clean, just like these elders did. They washed their hands, say, God, because of our faith, because we look to you, you've covered over and you are healing our land. In Jesus' name, amen.